This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score!
Tonight, number 21,
Oh, spectacular, Braden Holtby.
Hello, and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, and we're back. After something of a long layoff, but only something of a long layoff. That's because, well, 'twan much to talk about. That's one of many reasons why I have. And with me once again, as we've gotten the band back together, is, of course, my ever-popular co-host, The Mermaid, live to tape, also from Centerville, Virginia. It is Anna Knox.
Yeah, well, it feels like it's been a while, girl. I have to say I missed you. Missed the show.
Yeah, I kind of missed things, but I also kind of had to step away. Well, I mean, you know, there wasn't really anything for us to talk about. And then, boom, phase two, then phase three, and then half-assed phase five through six or whatever. You know,
right.
Warp speed,
that's
Mr. Zulu. Yeah. It all happened at once, and then a whole lot of other crap happened that we're gonna have to talk about. But I mean, for a while there, it was like most married men's sex life, a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah, I could say something, but I'm not going to.
Not yet. No.
I got to warm up to that stuff. It's been a while.
Okay. I get where you're coming from.
Yes.
What has life been like for you, lo, these many weeks off?
No, I'll tell you. I feel like it kind of goes through like a bit of an ebb and flow with this COVID. There are times that I get up in the morning and I'm motivated and I know what I'm going to do. And it may seem probably kind of stupid or petty to some people, but I'm like food prepping or cutting vegetables and I got music on and I'm in a good headspace because I'm like making lunches for the kids that are aside from, you know, just PB&J and Cheez-Its or whatever they would have in their lunch. And then prepping for dinner and then swimming. My God, I have so missed the pool. And I know it sounds crazy, but like we're under like really tight restrictions at our pool and one person per lane and you have to make a reservation and stuff. But that would put me in like the most amazing headspace where I'm like, everything is good. We are all going to get through this. And then I have other days where I wake up and I'm like, hey, look at that. It's 7:10. A.M. And it's like crickets. You know, it's like I've got nothing. I've got, you know, no motivation. My kids have, you know, going to be on screens for this ridiculously long time, and I don't want to watch anything. I don't want to talk to any. You know, it's like it's just very odd. And luckily, those days aren't. They're not reoccurring as often, but when they do, my God, it's like the longest day ever. So I don't know.
I once knew a diver who missed the pool.
That
hurt a lot.
It hurt a lot. Dangerous. Little, you know, if they didn't miss the pool, then they had a Greg Louganis epic fail on the diving board. Oh, probably not appropriate joke about that. Anywho, we're getting back into the group. We will we will get the kinks out and the humor will come back and we'll be on the same page very, very soon. I promise.
Right. So, so, I'm not really going to apologize, but if things seem a bit off to, our wonderful listeners out there, you on the other side of the earbuds, the speakers, what have you out there like that in the District of Columbia, State of Maryland, and of course the Commonwealth of Virginia and around the globe as well. Especially our friends across the pond, Mr. Grant Green in particular. I know he's excited that everything's coming back. But this is basically the warm-up lap before the warm-up lap. We're taking here. So.
And I know because you and I have a great relationship with Sports on the Hill. I will tell you about my rusty experience just for a few seconds on last week's episode with them, because it was their trial run and, you know, trying to get everybody back together. And it was like, okay, I'm ready. I got the Zoom link. I know what I'm doing. And all of a sudden a camera comes on and my background has me in outer space. I'm like, the fuck? And so, of course, like, here's Carol and Robbie, and they both have, like, you know, all of their Sports on the Hill and District of Champions stuff in the background. I'm, like, floating. Oh, like, hey, is this the Milky Way? Like, what the fuck? And I didn't know what to do. Like, I didn't know that was going to happen. So it's just like this, you know. So when they introduced me and they were like, oh, hey, and you're Anna from space. I'm like, was that like a... like an airhead joke? And then I was like looking at the screen closer. I'm like, oh my God, I'm literally in space. I am a floating head in space. This is so awkward.
Okay.
We got the kinks out.
I'm glad, but I don't know if this is very PC. So here you're the mermaid, but there you're space, space girl?
Pretty much.
What the hell?
Pretty much. I will tell you, and even like my husband was like, so was this intentional? I'm like, of course it wasn't intentional. You should all know that I am, you know, any IT issue is not my thing. I said, I clicked on the link. I saw the boys on there. I was like, hey, this is awesome to see you guys in person. And here I am in space and they are with their great sports background to talk about, you know, the Capitals. So Robbie took time to make a different background for me, which hopefully will show tomorrow. And it may or may not include Tommy. I'm just saying, I'm just going to put that out there.
Fair enough. More than fair enough. Yeah.
So, but anyway, so the kinks, we had to work those out there. You and I haven't been on the air in a couple, like a month or so.
It's been a good 8 weeks.
Yeah.
At least. I lost count.
I know. I feel like I'm in a prison, like where I'm just like marking off like 1, 2, 3, 4 and then cross out the 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. Because some days I'm like, what day is it? Like, what's going on? Where am I supposed to be? Nowhere? Okay, great. So what about you?
Tell me,
maybe start with a positive and then we'll get into the
All right. So I don't want to start on a down note, but like I said, the hockey news wasn't exactly a flow, and I didn't feel like, you know, what little was happening was worth reporting. So I kind of figured, all right, we shut it down for a while. And just wait for maybe something big to happen. That was my mentality. Meanwhile, as I might have mentioned to you before, if you've been listening longer than a few weeks to us, I do IT for a very large, very local, very financial company. And of course, because of COVID, the tax deadline was extended from April 15th to this past July the 15th. All kinds of chaos happening because of that. And that is that kind of took up a lot of my time. Whatever other free time I had at that point was taken up by the fact that I had to help take care of my missus. I posted the picture on my personal page. I don't know if it made it to the show page. I don't think I posted it there, but one of the next to last episodes we did, of course, I had Mrs. Blue Liner on, Jenny, and she came on with me. And around that time, she found out that she had to have surgery on her left leg to repair some tendon and muscle damage. So that was around the 4th of July. And ever since then, she's been laid up and been helping take care of her. So that's what my spare moments have gone into. And she's making a nice recovery so far, but it's still early. And, you know, unlike certain other injuries we'll talk about, we know the extent of it. We know what's going on. We know the recovery time. We know what's involved.
Right.
And we know what's going to happen and what needs to happen.
Sammy.
Yeah, we'll get to him.
Yeah, I get it. Well, I've been thinking about you guys because you've been kind of a little radio silent, and I'm like, hey, must be busy. I knew Jenny was recovering, so I'm hoping, you know, she can, is there a time when she's being able to go back to work?
Well, okay. So the prognosis is non-weight bearing for how much longer?
At least 4 more weeks.
At least 4 more weeks. She's still wrapped up and has the soft cast underneath the ACE bandage. So that's going to go on for a while. Got the stitches out the other day. So that all's gone. Everything as far as that goes is healing nicely. Doctor's pleased with the progress so far. But yeah, she can't put any weight on it for at least another month. So gonna keep an eye on that. Had to ice it down, some swelling post surgery, but got a handle on that as well. So everything's looking good, but we're still kind of early. So, that's her prognosis. But I mentioned the stuff about my job because, unfortunately, it's going to cut into what we're doing here for the show. Normally, we record Sunday nights, this being one of them. Mm-hmm. So today is the 26th of July as we're taping this. And then the next day, most of that evening and then into the next day, I do the chopping up and fixing up and whatnot and get the show out usually that evening. Well, that probably isn't going to be what I'm going to be available to do because I've been called upon to spend a lot more time, even though, tax season, quote unquote, is officially over. I've been called upon to spend a bit more time. It's OT, so I'm sort of kind of raking in the bucks for it, but so it's worth it. But my Mondays are now spoken for. So, the show episodes probably won't be out until more like Tuesdays now. So
okay. Well, and also now with the schedule, Sports on the Hill, I think we're still sticking with Mondays at 7. So
right
before that, after that, any other day that you want to do it, my schedule is really flexible these days.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah. But I will say
behind the curtain, you guys.
Right. Flexible. that's good about the OT. Like I know when you're in the situation and it sounds so draining and it sounds whatever, but it's like you really have to think about the opposite end and the people who don't have a job and the people who are really struggling and the people that I'm constantly thinking about during the COVID thing. This pandemic. It's like a blessing in disguise. I kind of taken things like that, and I've that's kind of what I've had to do with my summer is just realize that there are certain things I can do. certain things I can't do. And then, so now I'm taking some classes online to learn how to be a complete and total badass, kick-ass, whatever you want to call it, distance learning teacher come September 8th.
So nice.
We're all going to do, yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and speaking of blessings in disguise, I never thought people who had little to no experience in front of a computer or who act like it would be a blessing in disguise. But yeah, that's part of the reason why my services are needed a lot more and are going to be. But yeah,
you'll do fine. Like you know what you're going to get? You're going to get into your groove. And people are going to ask stupid questions and people are going to be stupid. And you have to just say, you know what? They've probably been cooped up in their house too long. And I'm just not going to let them ruin my day.
I'm going to try. That's for sure.
Just send me a text message and I'll send you daily motivating, like positive. Hey, Gail, you've got this. And then, you know, a couple of them later be like, shut the fuck up. Do your job. You're getting paid.
Yeah, maybe.
But no, I get it. No, it's good. So whenever, you know, whatever happens with the show, happens with the show, but let's talk hockey.
That we shall. But just before, well, I mean, yeah, let us talk hockey. But first, I mean, one of the reasons I told you all of the time that I had to spend at my job and, you know, other pursuits that I am responsible for. For whatever reasons. But I mean, on top of all that, a reason why it didn't make sense to do the show anymore was it just doesn't feel like hockey right now. I mean, it doesn't, I walk outside and I feel like I've walked into, you know, grandma's oven that's got six chicken pot pies going is what I feel like. I mean, that I get that we've all been waiting, but it just doesn't feel like hockey to me. Yeah. I'm sure once the games get going, once they start, you know, once we start from the first games, what, Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's the that's the like the game against Carolina.
Oh, right. So that's the pre.
I mean, it's still you know, against and it's not a scrimmage. It's against another team. It's like that.
It's not an actual game that will actually count in the actual standings. But yeah, it will be a game.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, but it's late July for crying out loud. You know, I
get it.
It just doesn't feel like hockey. You know what it feels more like to me? It feels more like golf. It feels like we should be out on the course taking that spoiled walk with all of our clubs and all of our balls and more balls
and lots of balls.
And some of us will have more balls than others, but that's a nice walk on the course, a nice good, I don't know. Do you feel like doing 9 holes maybe or 18? I don't know.
Any kind of hole is good. Come on now.
Yeah.
Let's go back to this. I understand 100% that you don't feel like a talk. And I get that because I think when we think of hockey, we think of ice and cold and winter and, you know, fall, winter, that kind of stuff. But we're in such a crazy pandemic vibe these days that nothing is normal. I mean, the fact that, and I know this doesn't really compare, but like the fact that I had to log on to the local pool that I go to website to make a reservation to get a lane to swim in, so that we're all, you know, COVID social distancing while we're in the water. And it's just totally bizarre to me. You know, it is so crazy. And the fact that I'm going into the stores and like my kids have masks on has just become like the norm. So having hockey in July, to me, I'm going to look at like, you know, it's the cherry on top of the sundae. I'm excited. Is it weird? Yes. I watched the Nets, their season opener, and it is so weird with an empty stadium. I mean, it truly is. So it's going to be weird. It's going to be a hard adjustment for all of us. But you know what? The fact that you and I are not season ticket holders and we weren't really at the games, we were always watching on TV. I'm just going to take it as that. Like, it's still our team. It's still our boys out there. And they're still playing hockey. They're not taking things away from it. They're not, there's not going to be 60 minutes and all of a sudden it's like the game's cut down to 30 and, you know, this many players and all of a sudden there's only like 3-on-3. It's still going to be hockey. I get that it's in July, but I'll take it. I just want everyone to be safe. I'm just concerned about the spread.
True. And we'll discuss that more, but it's still, I get what all you said, but it still feels like when you look at everything, it still feels like golf. It still feels like, well, let me see if I can paint a picture for you.
Okay.
So we're out here at Burned Scrotum Golf Course here on the 18th hole, the final playoff. And it's Sidney Crosby walking up to the tee in a god-awful but ugly pair of checkered golf pants, lining up to take his tee shot.
Skinny golf pants. Continue.
He checks the wind and the backswing. Oh, and it looks like it's landed into the sand trap. And he's now throwing his golf clubs in disgust, much like he did the water bottle in the playoffs.
Okay, so explain to me why, because I do love to watch golf. I know that's like my nerdy sports side, but I do love to watch it. But anyways, why would you think that when the puck drops officially for our team this end of this week, it's going to be like golf clap worthy and slow motion? You don't think it's going to actually just be the game?
I'm not saying the hockey action will suck. I'm saying that's what it feels like. And okay. I thought you of all people would, you know, kind of appreciate what I just did.
I know.
But
well,
you're letting it go. I get it.
No, I get it. I just feel like as big as a sports fan that I am, I have come to accept the fact that, you know, there's hockey is going to have no fans, and football, if it comes back, is not going to have any fans. And then watching baseball, it was very odd. To see this, and I appreciate the people who are trying to make, you know, like sound effects and the, you know, the songs and, you know, the commentators. So it's like, I just, you know, I'm just gonna go with it and just be like, God, it's in, you know.
Well, I haven't seen anything sports wise, the stuff that's come back, the Premier League, golf,
okay.
The Nats. I haven't seen anything yet. So the first game I'm actually going to get to watch, that's going to be all new.
Okay, so you haven't seen that, like, I mean, it is weird. It's weird for everybody. It's weird for the players. But I think that's just the thing that, like, all right, we're all in this together. It's not like it's just a DC, you know, DMV kind of thing. It is, everybody is going through this. And, you know, they have like cutouts of fans, you know, in certain stadiums, and it is totally crazy. But you know what? It's back on. They're doing what they can. And again, like I just want to see the athletes. Like, I'm like, please go into this and being healthy and remaining healthy, and, you know, don't risk anything, because it's really not worth it.
Well,
but here we are.
I'm glad you mentioned that, though, because there is a big part of me, and I kind of went into this a little bit in my last post on the show page over at Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And before I don't want to go off on another tangent, but still another reason. I mean, the last episode we did, kind of drained me. I mean, we had to talk about a fellow fan who passed away and all the other crap that was going on in the world. So that kind of drained me. So I kind of had to step back. But the stuff that's going on or had been going on in the hockey world just, it pissed me off more and more and more as it, well, at first didn't happen and then happened. I mean, it's like, okay, so there was this nothing. We're looking at mid July. No, it's going to be late July. No, it's going to be mid August. And it's like, okay, cancel the fucking season already. If you don't know what you're doing, and then all of a sudden, oh, we're in phase two. Oh, now we're in phase three. Oh, now we're talking hub cities. Oh, look, Vegas is going to be a hub city. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. You know what? It was going to be Toronto and Edmonton all along. Oops, sorry. I feel like the league management was playing a friggin', trying to do a con job on us the whole time. And that's where I was going with that post. And look, if you out there listening don't think that Gary Bettman and folks are not capable of flat out lying to the players and the fans, think again. I got three letters for you. CTE. You know what that stands for? I would hope you do by now. But if you don't, it's chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And you know what causes that? Concussions. You know what happens a lot in hockey? Concussions. So there you go. If he can lie about that, then he can lie about a lot of other things that go on in the game. And that's why I said what I said, that he's a friggin' liar. And I thought that's what he was doing this whole time. And it wouldn't surprise me that half the NHLPA has its arm twisted behind their back in doing this. You've already heard of players opting out. I'm surprised there aren't more, but this pseudo playoffs they got going. It just look. I love the cup. I love the history. I love all of that, and I love hockey. I always will. But I don't know. It just feels like somebody has taken a big crap on all what we know about it. What we're used to, and said, all right, well, this year it's going to be different because of COVID, and making an excuse. Well, I mean, I don't know how I'm going to feel if the Caps win the cup, but whoever wins the cup, there will always be that question mark in the back of everyone's mind.
Of course.
What if? And
right.
You throw all that together, and that kind of gets me feeling, well, I mean, yeah, I'm going to watch it, but I mean, really?
Yeah.
You see where I'm coming from?
I will say yes. Absolutely, I see where you're coming from. I have a little bit of a difference of opinion. So
of course.
Welcome back to our show. I feel like now we're in our groove. And here's where I feel differently. Only because being a Fairfax County teacher, I have had to deal with the superintendent deciding whether or not, we're going to go virtual in the fall, or we're going to go hybrid, which is 2 days a week in person and the rest of the time online, and on and on and on. And going back and forth and listening to all the statistics, I mean, it was nauseating to the point where I'm just like, I just can't. Just tell me what I'm fucking doing and when I need to show up and do my job. Whether it's online or in person, face masks, scrubs, just tell me what I'm doing. And it went back and forth for such a long time. And I feel like what I had to step back and realize was nobody knows. Like, nobody knows what the right solution is. And so therefore, to jump into something of saying open up all schools could cause issues, and open up all stadiums is what it's like, a whole other issue. So they want to appease, you know, the parents at the schools and the fans, but you have to be safe about it. And so I truly can't think that anyone's in this situation, NHL, NFL, MLB, whatever it is, to say, hey, listen, who gives a shit? Put 60,000 people next to each other and let them just watch a game. There has to be so many things that have to go into it. So even though it got pushed off, yes, I will say, I agree with you. There's a side of me that's like, scratch the season and let's give it to the fall. And so it's like a true, and so it feels like a true hockey season. However, we're in the situation where many of us, you know, it's like we haven't had sports on for 4 or 5 months and we're just kind of looking for anything. Not at the cost of the players getting sick, of course, but they have to take into consideration so many factors. You know, it's not just the players, it's the coaches and it's the equipment and the med and all the other employees. So I think that, were we being kind of lied to? No, I just don't think that anybody knew what we were getting ourselves into and that they're doing the best that they can. So to kind of go up against what you said, probably. But do I think we should have just scratched the season because this year's cup is not going to feel, I don't want to say genuine, but there, like you said, there's definitely going to be yeah, you got it, but there's always going to be the but statement kind of hanging over the Stanley Cup. So I don't know.
If this all results in a lot of players getting sick, there ought to be a lot of butts hanging from somewhere.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, it's nobody knows. Like, you know, it's like we don't want to get into the whole COVID talk of like asymptomatic and this and that, but it's like, okay, so they're doing what they're going to do. They're trying to make things, you know, like our player, like I'm all 100% on board for them playing in Canada because at least Canada's numbers for COVID are nothing compared to the U.S. I mean, shit, if we could play in New Zealand, I would. I'd be like, just go there because they have zero. We're out of control. There's no way they could play in Vegas or not get sick or any other, you know, Detroit, whatever the other options were. Canada, at least the COVID numbers are on the lower end. And let's hope that that's a positive in this whole situation. I don't know if it will be. I mean, the boys left today and, you know, they're in their bubble for the next 2 months, but I don't know. Maybe you'll feel differently when you watch the puck drop. Maybe you'll just have like this is what I've been waiting for. This is what I needed on this like 110 degree, hot, humid Maryland, DC, Virginia day, because I'm over the weather. Over it. That's my little
soapbox. Okay. Yeah, I get all that. But yeah, there's a part of me, even when the puck drops, is going to feel like something of a hypocrite because
they shouldn't be playing.
They really shouldn't be. And like you said, if they don't know what they're doing, then I don't know, put the brake on until somebody figures out what they're doing.
Exactly. And I don't mean to go back to the school thing, but just to kind of put into perspective how I feel about my job and sports is like, you know, if you're not 100% sure that we're all going to be safe returning to school, then we don't need to at this moment. You know, 8, 10, 12 weeks of distance learning is going to be okay. And if hockey, you know, all of a sudden they play one game against Carolina and, you know, COVID spreads like wildfire, shutting the season down. We're fine. Then we will start fresh when everyone is, you know, when the numbers are low or a vaccine or whatever it's going to take. But I think right now everyone's just kind of like, I don't know what to do. Let's try sports without fans. Let's see how it goes. Mm. Who knows? It's just all very scary to me. Because even, like, I even watched part of the Nats-Yankees game today, and there are base coaches out who have masks on, but they're not covering their noses. And you're like, dude, come on. Like, yeah, you know? And so when you think about how close the hockey players are on the bench, is there going to be any kind of distancing? Is there... Yeah, how does that all work out? And I want to have faith in the National Hockey League to keep those boys safe, but it's a lot of stress. And I really just wanted to, like, come on and be like, I'm so looking forward to it, but I'm so hesitant.
I get all that, and
yeah,
I want to see everything play out. But I mean, there's always going to be that, but that's the problem. Now,
yeah.
What if they just, I don't know. If there's anything that got proven over the course of the last few weeks is the world didn't come to an end. We all didn't, you know, die from not seeing something that we're used to. You know,
right.
A big reset button's been hit, but
right.
I don't know. I would rather, as much as I wanted it to come back, I would rather they've gotten it right. I just don't feel like they're getting it right. I just feel like, and yes, I will be the first to say I got it wrong, or I said it wrong. If they do pull this off without,
oh, you and me both. I mean, I was the one that sick. Was. I think our last episode, I was like, no, it's too risky. It's too this, it's too that. But if it comes on, will I watch it? Yes. But will I still have, you know, concerns? Of course. So, you know, there's a little bit of, yeah, that kind of, I feel like it's almost like a double standard. Like, I'm excited to watch it because I'm like, oh, it's hockey and it's the players and it's this. But then that other side of me that's like, but please don't. Don't be the asymptomatic player that then boards, you know, there's all these other things that go into play. I do think that a huge thing is going to cut, like, I think that this, their game on Wednesday and the other teams that are also playing, I think this next 7 days is going to speak volumes. This is going to be it. This is going to determine whether or not they can go forward with their season or not, because they're going to be testing the players, you know, and then now the players will have been, you know, moved to Toronto, like our players moved to Toronto. They have a day there, you know, no contact or whatever. And then they're going to practice on Tuesday and they play Carolina on Wednesday. And I'm assuming that they all have to be tested, but I think that's going to be the huge thing is like what happens when they have contact with, you know, their teammates that close and other teammates or, you know, other teams. So I do think that I think NHL, like, I mean, are we looking at maybe it's just going to last a week and they're going to have to call it because, you know, it was, I don't know. I think it's just like I think 2020 is the year of what the fuck.
You got that right.
I mean, I feel like it's just like, if I'm not saying what the fuck, are you fucking kidding me? Or, what? Like when I'm looking at, you know, people on the internet and all the Karens and all this stuff, I'm like, what is the world coming to?
Yeah, don't even get me started on that. I've had to swear off Twitter for weeks at a time because of crap like that. So.
Oh, I know, and it's like, and I'm not laughing because, I mean, some of it is funny, and some of it is just like you can't do anything but laugh because it is so appalling that this is what people have come to. And it looks like people just kind of gone a little bit crazy. So either way, but I do want to ask you if I can, unless you have another subject. They take us off.
No, well, we've got the, well, I've got my, sort of preview and we got to say what we can about what's going on with Sammy, but no, go ahead.
Oh, well, that it kind of goes in with the Sammy thing. I'm just wondering how you feel about the, here's what I'm hearing on social media. I understand Samsonov had suffered an injury, and thank God it's not COVID related. That to me, thank God, because that's really scary to think about, like we just said, for the team. And let's hope whatever he has is groin injury, like Diane Doyle said on our Facebook page. Let's hope that's what it is, and he'll be able to.
Let me stop you right there. Let me stop right. You were saying stuff about 2020 being all effed up. I mean, that's one example of it right there. When you actually hope for a groin injury. Okay.
Good point. Touche. But I'm saying at least it's something that you know. It's like, okay, this is what it is, because he is a goalie and these like ridiculous positions that they go in. Maybe he pulled something. Maybe he overextended something. Not that I want to think about it, but you know what? I'd rather take that than have it be a positive COVID. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
but
no,
I know.
I get that. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So what I've seen on a lot of social media is people saying that like this is it for Braden Holtby. Like if he does not prove himself, you know, Seattle bound he goes. Do you think it's fair?
Well,
put
first
the pressure
of all,
on him right now.
First of all, Seattle doesn't start play until
after the season.
The expansion draft is not until end of next season. So, just to clear that up, to answer the rest of your question, that's actually falls into one of my three keys of how, what has to happen for success in the playoffs. So we can kind of sort of talk about all of it, the whole thing, Sammy and the, so it calls into, I'm upset because of several things. I don't know why it's all the injury situation is being hush hush, because they're the fact that they're hiding it and not disclosing what the injury is. All they're saying is that he will be ready for next season and that he's out. Well, he's already had a horrific injury. He tore, I think it was either his hamstring or his groin, about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
About two seasons ago. He's already had some significant time off because of an injury. Part of me is thinking, okay, is this a rehash of that or is this something new? I mean, I would kind of feel better if they, I don't know, describe what the hell happened and how the hell he wasn't at practice ever. He never made it to the rink that we know of, that we saw.
Right.
What the hell happened?
Right. But I think the reason why they didn't say anything or haven't said anything is because everybody immediately just jumped on the COVID bandwagon. We're like, oh, he has it. That's why. And this and that.
Yeah, no, okay. The smart people knew that was all BS, but no, sorry. I'm going off here, but to answer your question. Braden Holtby is one of the three keys to this team. Obviously he has to have a stellar playoffs for this team to go far. And I read an article, I forget who wrote it, unfortunately. It wasn't anyone who regularly covers the Caps, but basically the article pretty much put it out there that said, look, if Braden Holtby wants to finally shut the doubters up and say, okay, it's not just that I have a Stanley Cup ring now, it's because I'm that good. And I deserve much more than $6 million a year or whatever it he's getting. I deserve double-digit figures like Sergei Bobrovsky gets, even though he didn't do jack squat this year as far as being deserving. Now, hell, his replacements in Columbus played a hell of a lot better than he did. But, and that is... So he's entering the playoffs with that mentality. He's entering the playoffs thinking, all right, this is make or break time. This is, you know, I don't want to think about it, but this is going to be, this is probably my last big chance for the big contract. So whether I stay here or I move on, I have to do well. And so he's, if he's doing right by himself, he's getting himself in that championship headspace. What I don't like about the whole Sammy situation is now he does not have a Philip Grubauer to challenge him for the job. You know, right. Now he's got, and look, I love, you know, I'm not saying Phoenix Copley is not a competitor. You know, I'm not saying Vitek Vanacek is not worthy of being a backup in the league, but he's not feeling that pressure from below anymore. He just knows he has to be the guy, but he's not, you know, the only consequence is, okay, it's not like I'm going to get it, not going to get a job. It's I'm not going to get my big payday. Whoop-de-doo. Well, I know double-digit millions is nothing to sneeze at. Look at me saying that. But, I mean, that's the only consequence. That's the only fear I have, is that he's not getting that pressure that he did in 2018, because there was a guy on the same team playing better than he did at the time. And make right. no mistake, you know, talked about this to death. The defense has let him down a lot, but he hasn't been his level best. I think we mm-hmm. can all agree about that. Right.
But I think, yeah, you know, he's the player that...
That's my fear, right. though, is that he's you know, he's in it. He's going to be in it to do his best and earn that payday, whether it comes here or whether it comes elsewhere. That's, you know, that's for management to decide. But right. I'm pretty sure we're going to get something pretty close to what we're used to as far as his best.
Yeah. I think that I truly feel, and people can make fun of me all they want, I feel like Braden Holtby is sort of a unique figure in the sports world. I don't feel like he is one that is holding out for more money. I don't feel like he is that one player that's going to, you know, hold out for this or that. He seems like such a family man, grounded, spiritual, whatever you want to call it. And I love him for all these reasons. But I feel like he is just a unique player that is like, DC's my home. You know, this is amazing. And, you know, the Caps are my family. And I feel like this time away off the ice since March is going to put him in a headspace that is not going to be about Seattle and Washington. It's not going to be about, you know, Sammy and Holtz or Copley or anything. It's going to be about Braden Holtby going out there and doing what we know he can do. And not in your face, like, there, take that, I told you I could do it. Just him being like, I know what I can do, and I'm going to do it for himself, not to prove anybody, you know, right or wrong. And I've always just like, I don't know, he just is like such a unique player to me. But hell, for all I know, if Seattle was like, hey, I'm ready to give you $100 million, he'd be like, peace out, you see, I'm out of here. You know, that's a whole other world that I don't even know. But there's something about Braden Holtby that I feel like he's, you know, he's genuinely in the game for all the right reasons. Like, he knows when he hasn't played well, he has let down himself and his teammates, and his coaches and the fans. You know, like, he truly takes it to heart, and you can tell in his interviews. So I feel like, I want him to come out, and, you know, he boarded the plane today, fedora and his acoustic guitar, and I just, my heart was just like, yes. He is in a good place right now, and he is going to be what the team needs, you know, like, way to go. And then between the Copley Oh my God. I almost said Vrana. Is it Veritek?
Vanacek.
Vanacek. I was like, that doesn't sound right. I like both of them. I was a Copley fan, you know, when he was playing. And I feel like, you know, maybe again, like, give him a shot. He's had time away, and let's see what he can do and come back, you know, and who knows? At this point, it's an exciting roster to look at of people that, you know, you and I have seen some games where have been like, oh, hey, this person and this guy looks great, and Lewington, and, you know, like, this is going to be exciting to see. That's what makes me excited. You know, I have to put the COVID thing aside and put that dark cloud, like, away. And I can have, you know, 60 minutes of looking at these players and how they've matured and who's meshing well in the lines and, you know, Dylan and all that. Yeah, then that makes me excited for the season. And not having to, you know, like, let me have a, you know, maybe it's naive or whatever, but it's like, I want to be excited about that. And I don't want to have to think about all the other health risks outside of that 1 hour of hockey on ice.
All true. I mean, like I said, I don't think we were going to see anything but the absolute best he can give. But yeah. Like a lot of goalies, it's going to depend on how the D plays in front of him. And so that's the second key, is they have to figure their shit out now.
Right.
Not 2 games from now, not after right. the round robin.
Yeah.
Now. Now. They cannot wait any longer. So I hope to God that Todd Reirden has pulled out his iPad, gone to his drawing board, and is, you know, taking everything by the nutsack and grabbing it and getting a hold of it and saying, okay, this is how it's going to be. If ever there was a time he needed to do that, it's now. Yeah. And if there's one good thing about everyone being in the bubble, it's that you're isolated from things that would normally be a distraction. So this might end up being a good thing.
Right.
But whether it's the coaching or the players themselves, the D has to figure everything out. That's the second key. Now, the final key for this team to be successful in the playoffs, their best players have to be their best players. And of course, we're talking about the captain, but I think right now, unfortunately, there's kind of a question mark about Backstrom. Have we seen, or at least there is in my mind, have we seen the last of his best? Does he have one more good playoff run in him? Or is he really starting to slow down, like kind of what we've been seeing this whole season? Hard to say, but he's got to step up. And then him, if not him, definitely Kuznetsov. You notice the two guys I'm talking about are both centers. Centers are the key to both your offensive production, and they are the start of your defensive game, because they are supposed to cover that vital portion of the ice. So if those guys don't play well, then, well, maybe the third and fourth line will make up for scoring. Maybe they'll clamp down. Maybe Holtby will bail them out. Maybe. Or maybe they won't. But you don't get as much of a guarantee. You don't get the warm, fuzzy feeling that this team's going to win a lot of games if those two don't start playing well. So they're I didn't mean this to come out the way it is, but they're going to be part of the centers of attention, if you will. So right. that those three things right there are why. And I'll add you a bonus, and not just because I'm kissing up to you, but there's another guy who, whether he plays on the first line or the fourth line, He has to bring his A game, not only physically, but offensively and leadership wise, meaning he can't take stupid penalties ever. And I think I hope I know.
Are we talking about Tommy 5 second delay?
Yes, we are.
And the 5 second delay, I hope you understand, is because of the, you know why I said that, right?
Yeah. Tell me anyway.
That he was a big person to for the networks to consider when they're airing the games live about language. He's one of the reasons why we're going to have a 5 second delay, because not even if they're mic'd up or not, but just knowing what's being aired, these guys are going to play. They don't care, it's like, fine them for swearing, they don't care, but
they don't care.
Tommy was one that was basically admitted to having to watch the F-bombs, and I thought, God, if he has to, then I have to. It won't happen on this end,
we've talked about in the recent past his maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shown it.
Yes.
He's got to really show it this playoffs, though. Because we're starting the phase, look, I know you out there listening, you probably don't want to hear this, okay? But we're starting the phase where the torch is being handed down, okay? In about 7.5 weeks, Alex Ovechkin will be 35 years old. Nicklas Backstrom is not very far behind him. The leadership of this team is starting to age. Now, they're not showing it yet, not too much, but they're starting to age. So we're beginning that phase where the torch is being passed. So it's important for a guy like Wilson not only to get it done on the ice by being a presence, chipping in the odd goal when necessary, and showing some leadership. I'm not going to say that if he doesn't show that, they won't win, but this is his time. If he's going to be that complete player, this is his time, this is his stage. And, he's in his home city. So, for criminy sakes, get it done. Do it here. Do it now. So, that's my bonus key. Call me a locksmith.
Yeah.
Those four things have to happen in some combination for the Caps to be successful this convoluted playoffs.
I agree. And I think my biggest issue was the defensive line and that lack of chemistry, which I'm a big supporter of the chemistry of any team. So important. So I was glad to see the Carlson Kempe back together. I think that was a smart move. And I think that is, I feel like with how kind of shitty the defensive players played there toward the end, we had people very frustrated. They look frustrated. They look kind of out of sync. But this was a good break for them.
And that's what I'm worried about, though, is was it too much of a break? Are they going to show some rust? But on the other hand, this is one hell of a reset button, too.
They know what they're getting themselves into. They know what they're getting paid for. So, like, when you say, like, hey, we're not going to give it to, like, it has to start now, not, 1, 2, 3, 4 games into this situation. I feel like these players have had their time to kind of go through this COVID experience, on their own and figure out how they're going to train and how they're going to reset their minds, and also like their talent and their skills and everything else. Of the Instagram or social media accounts that I follow of the players, everyone was doing something during this time. There wasn't some a person who was being a total a-hole and like completely slacking off. Everyone was like, you know, you're Yeah, right. Well, yeah, let's just not even. But Karma got his ass, which is great. But, you know, like he's, like these players are out there, they're training, they're doing these things. And even if it's, you know, they're doing it by themselves, obviously, because of the whole social distancing and whatnot, like I have nothing but respect for them. And I feel like there wasn't such a huge amount of time apart that you're going to suddenly be like, oh, I don't, you know, can't me Carlson, what? Like, I don't know this guy. Bullshit. Like, they know each other. They needed a break. They got it. They're coming back refreshed. Everyone's got fresh legs. And you know what? Like, they're, this is it. Like you said, there's no, you know, don't give me this bullshit. I need a, you know, I'm jet lagged. I'm this. No. You're going out and you're going to play hard. And that's it. Like, it's like Carolina, and then we go and play Lightning, and it's like, this is it. Balls to the wall. I hate that phrase, but it's true. So we'll see what comes out. But I agree with you that, you know, the ones that we admire and put on the biggest pedestals are getting older. But I do think with that, there's such a huge amount of respect for the Backstroms and the Ovechkins that whomever kind of steps into their roles will never be able to replace, will just also have that mindset of being, you know, taught how to be the captain of a team and how to you know, deal with everything and to play 100% every single game.
Very true. Very true. And I'm not too worried about, you know, the lag and the off time, because all 5,000 of the other invited teams going to this convoluted playoffs have to face the same thing. So
exactly. You
know, that's,
there isn't like a, yeah, somebody had so much time off the ice and somebody's playing back to back. No, we've all had the same COVID break.
Right. So okay. So I think this is a good place to stop.
Yeah.
I think we're a bit of a rough ride at the beginning, but we're kind of back into a kind of a groove now. So, yeah. I think, you know, we're sufficiently warmed up. So, we'll be ready to go next week after the first few games have been played. We'll see how they look. I don't know. I think I heard that NBC Sports Washington will be covering the round robin.
And
maybe
so, yeah,
the first round as, pardon me, as well. So there will be that. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows the TV schedule beyond that. But we'll see. I'll try and catch as much as I can. Of course, some of the games, unfortunately, the way they have it structured will be while I am working. But yeah,
I know it's a lot of early games, a lot of 4 o'clock games.
Yeah, a lot of four o'clock games. Yes, thank you. but yeah, I will keep up with it as much as I can. But this I said is a good place to stop. So yeah, I'm feeling optimistic, cautious but optimistic, and I'm as ready for hockey as I will be, but still with some trepidation, unfortunately. You know, I'm not going to apologize for that, but you know,
yeah,
you know why for, you know, for now, but I'll still watch it and we're still hoping for the best. So, it's the cup and, you know, no matter how they present it, that's the goal. That's what we're going after here. So unless there's anything else on your mind.
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
Okay. Yep. So we're going to stop here. I'm going to try and get this episode out sometime during the day Tuesday. Again, my apologies for the delay. So, for Anna Knox, the Mermaid, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you,
okay,
that I once saw bacon and eggs walking into a bar. The bartender had to turn them away because they don't serve breakfast.
Nope. Even after this little break that we've had, still not. That's okay.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.